The next scene opens up. The start of the judgment. Brothers and sisters, again, imagine. You know, when you walk into a court, there's the judge, there's the sheriff or whoever, they have the handcuffs on the side, right? They're standing there. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْأَعْلَى. There will be the scale that the judge, the scale will be put, and the keepers of hellfire will come with chains standing here. And all mankind is standing. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the first ummah to get judged. So I want you to imagine here. Imagine. The back of this room is where the throne is. The ummah of Muhammad is scattered. The ummah of Muhammad, you, us, we are called upon for judgment. What will happen is the Prophet ﷺ will lead us to the throne. I want you to imagine this scene. He's walking ﷺ and all mankind comes aside, just like a sea parts open. And we're behind him, walking, heads up high. And everyone is looking at us. Our hands, our limbs, our feet are white from the wudu. And all the creation of Allah, they're looking and they're saying, who are these people? Who are these people? They must be a whole ummah of prophets. And you're walking heads high. I know what's happening to us Muslims today here. There will come a day in this world and in the hereafter where we will walk heads up high. Every ummah looking at us, wishing that they are from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the throne of Allah, the judgment will start. Every individual, every person, you, me, every one of us will be called upon to be judged. And at that moment, brothers and sisters, the sky just becomes dark with books flying everywhere. Just books fly everywhere at that moment. And everyone is about to get their book. And you know that if you get your book with your right hand, you're pretty safe. But if you get it with your left hand, you're not. So some people try to hide their left hand behind their back as if there's no other option except my right hand. And the verse says people will take their books with their right hand and other people will take the books behind their back. It will fly right into their left hand. Brothers and sisters, I want you to take a moment and open your book. Take a moment, close your eyes. This is the report card you've been waiting for. Open it. Open it. Open your book of deeds right now. Look at it. Flip the pages. Every page, every word, every atom of an action that you did is in there. Everything. You open your book and you are terrified. You are terrified from what's in it. Open your eyes, brothers and sisters. Your name is called. You have your book with you. You approach the throne of Allah. Two scenarios. What do you want to start with? Good or bad? I just want to make sure you're awake, really. Bad? We'll end with the good, right? All right, we'll end with the good. So, the bad scenario, may Allah protect us. They walk up. Has anyone got a ticket before and went to court? Show of hands, come on. Muslims are speedy, we know that. Come on. All right. So, I've been to court before for a speeding ticket. And one of the worst things in court is to stand in front of everyone and try to explain your situation. Like, you want to just be alone. Like, everyone is looking, what did he do? SubhanAllah, for the bad, it is complete exposure. I want you, just imagination, big screen TV, your whole life is shown to all mankind. Everything you did, said, looked at, typed, everything. That by itself is a punishment. And so the judgment for the bad person, they start to look at their book and they say, "Ya Allah, I have an issue." "What's your issue?" "I think your angels really didn't do a good job. I don't like what's in the book. I don't think this is fair. I want to be my own judge." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His mercy says, "Okay." And He seals His lips closed. And He asks His hands, "Did you do this and this and this?" And the hands talk and say, "Yes, we did." Allah asks the eyes, "Did you look at this and this and this?" And the eyes respond and say, "Yes, we did." He asks the legs, "Did you do this and this?" And the legs respond and say, "Yes." And Allah gives permission back to the person to speak. And the first thing the person does is to curse his own body and say, "I was trying to defend you from hellfire." But brothers and sisters, it's not a joke. Because the next word that comes out is خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. Take him, chain him, throw him into hellfire. That's it. Take him away. And so the person being chained and taken away starts to say, "Ya Allah, but..." And Allah says, "This is a final judgment. It's over. Take him away." And this person is chained and thrown into hellfire. May Allah protect us. On the lighter side, you come to the throne for your judgment, and a curtain is put around you. No one sees what's happening inside. The scholars say it's a semi-transparent curtain, so people can barely make out what's happening behind there, but not really in detail. So you open your book and you see your bad deeds. So you are so regretful, you're so sad, "Oh my God, I don't know what to do." And you look again at the book, and that bad deed is switched into a good deed. So you're like, "Alhamdulillah," and you make sujood, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you open your book again and you see, "Oh my God, another bad deed." And you look again, and it's changed into a good deed. So you make sujood again, thanking Allah. The people on the outside are looking and saying, "Who's this person who's in constant sujood? He must be a saint. He must be a very pious person." But what's happening, brothers and sisters, actually, is your repentance, your tawbah. Do you guys know what repentance is, what tawbah is? 3 steps, and we're going to try it right now. When you make tawbah, when you repent from a bad deed, Allah doesn't just wash it away. He turns it into a good deed. Converts it. All the years that you've been doing this bad deed are converted into good deeds. Let's do it right now. I want this to be as practical as possible. Close your eyes. Pick a bad deed that you've been doing. Maybe for months, maybe for years. Maybe you've just started. There are 3 steps. Number 1, stop doing the bad deed. And I'm guessing by all of us being here, we're not doing it right now. Number two, this is the important one. Regret it. Regret every moment of it. Regret what you have done. Feel bad. Feel bad that you have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feel bad that He gave you these eyes and ears and mouth and you used them against Him. Feel bad about it. I want it to really come out of your heart. I regret doing it. And number three, the third step, open your eyes, heads up high, and tell yourself, I won't do it again. I will try my best not to do it again. Tell that to yourself right now. Brothers and sisters, I kid you not, if you really took these three steps right now, may Allah accept it from us. That bad deed, all the years of that bad deed are converted into good deeds. Congratulations. Could Allah be more merciful? Could Allah be more merciful? And by the way, you can do that whenever you want. The Prophet used to make tawbah, repentance, 70 times a day. 70 times a day. We only feel it when we make a big sin. That's if we feel it. Brothers and sisters, you look at your book of deeds and Allah has changed them all. All the bad deeds that you've repented into good deeds. And Allah tells you, this is the moment you've been waiting for. Allah tells you, Ya Abdi, O my servant, you are granted paradise. Can you imagine hearing that? You're granted paradise. You will enter into Jannah. So what you do, you take your book back, you run back towards the people, and you say, Ha umuqra'u kitabiyah. Look at me, I made it. Look at my book. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَةً I knew that I was going to be asked. So I prepared for this day. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَضِيَةً Allah says, and He is in Jannah, in a very pleasant place. The last step of this day of judgment is the sirat, the bridge. Brothers and sisters, do you see where my computer is over there? Okay, you see that? I want you to imagine that as the land of judgment. So everything we've been discussing is happening there. This table right here is the land in front of the doors of Jannah. And between these two lands, there is a bridge. This bridge, called a sirat, is as wide as a hair and as sharp as a sword. Under the bridge is hellfire. وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا Every single person will have to cross this bridge. Every single person will have to cross this bridge. This bridge is dark. There is no light there except for the believers. And your light is according to your iman, to your faith. Some people, it will be completely lit. And the hadith says, the Prophet says, and some people will have like a small flashlight in their toe that goes on and off, on and off. When it goes on, they take a step. When it goes off, they have to stop. Some people will cross this bridge like the wind. Others like a speedy man on a horse. And some people will fall and will hold on to it and will get back up. They will get cut, but they will make it across. And some people will not. brothers and sisters, about the light on this day, those who come to the masjid, specific hadith, for Fajr and Isha, they will have complete light on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet says, give glad tidings to those who come to the masjid when it's dark, meaning Isha and Fajr. They will get complete light on the Day of Judgment. To make things a little worse, on your back, you have your bad deeds. And there are hooks and angels trying to push you off the sirat. This is a very serious test. The people that will fall will go to hellfire. And that's my segue into station number 4, hellfire. Brothers and sisters, before we go into hellfire, I want to make something clear. No one will enter Jannah unless they have zero sins. Zero sins. Okay? Now, how do you wash away your sins? Allah gave us 11 different ways to wash away our sins. 4 in this world, 3 in the intermediate world, in the grave, and 4 on the Day of Judgment. Let's talk about the 4 in this world. Number 1, repentance. We just talked about repentance. What does it do? It washes away, not just washes away, it turns the bad deeds into good deeds, right? Number 2 is forgiveness, asking Allah, and there's the difference. When you're walking down the street and you see a beautiful woman and you say, Astaghfirullah, all right? That's not repentance, that's just asking for forgiveness at that moment. You saw something, and okay. Allah wash it away. That doesn't mean I'm not going to look again, but just wash that one away for me. That's forgiveness. So forgiveness washes away the sin. It doesn't replace it with a good sin, a good deed. All right? See the difference? So repentance has that regret, all right? And that I'm going to try not to do it again. That turns it into a good deed. Just you did something bad, you said astaghfirullah, may Allah forgive me, inshallah Allah will wash away that sin. Now, the third thing, hasanat yudhibna sayyat, good deeds. When you do more good deeds, they wash away the bad deeds. It's pretty simple math so far. The fourth one is very interesting, hardships. Hardships, brothers and sisters. Some people, Allah wants them to go to Jannah, whether they like it or not. And so they're not doing the first three. They're not asking for, you know, repentance or asking for forgiveness. They're not doing a lot of good deeds. But Allah wants them to go to Jannah. So what does He do? He gives them hardships. May Allah, inshallah, grant, you know, shifa, wellness for all Muslims, people that have chronic diseases, people that have cancer, people that even just have stress. The Prophet ﷺ says, even when you get pricked by a thorn, that washes away some bad deeds. Emotional hardship, physical hardship, all of that washes away your bad deeds. So, sisters, working at home is hard, taking care of your kids is hard. All that emotional stress, those are washing away your bad deeds. Brothers, with the right intention, you go to work. Things happen at work. Problems, challenges. With the right attitude, with the right mindset, this is all hardships that are washing away your bad deeds. And this is why the Prophet said, أَمْرُ الْمُؤْمِنْ كُلُّ خَيْرٍ. Everything that happens to a believer is good. Everything. Because if actual good things happen and he thanks Allah for it, then Allah will increase it. And if a bad thing happens, and he's patient, then Allah washes away sins. And that's pretty good. Right? So what happens is this. If you die, and all your sins have been washed away before you die, when you enter your grave will be a garden of paradise. But you may still have sins when you die. So the first station after death is the janazah prayer. People that will ask forgiveness for you washes away your sins. Number two, the grave itself. So the punishment in the grave. So let's just so that you can imagine, let's say someone had 100 sins. They asked forgiveness for 50 of them. This is, by the way, why whenever you remember a bad deed you did, immediately say astaghfirullah. Because you may never remember it again. Right? So you have 50 sins left. Janazah prayer took away 10. You have 40 left. You will be punished in the grave until those 40 go away. And then in the hereafter, you may go straight to Jannah. It's fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair. And the third thing after you die is gifts, good deeds that are gifted to you by your children, by a continuous charity that you've done. The last four stations, I want to go quickly through this. The day of judgment, everything we just described, standing for 50,000 years, all this pain, all right, is again washing away your sins. Intercession, we'll get to that in a minute. The Prophet ﷺ will intercede, will ask forgiveness on your behalf. The mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah, every deed you do, Allah counts it as 10. If all of this is still not enough and you have bad deeds, then you will enter into hellfire until those bad deeds are washed away. And then you are taken out of hellfire into Jannah. Does this make sense? Okay. So, moving into hellfire, may Allah protect us. Can everyone just stand up? This is a complete stretcher, no exercise associated with this. Just stretch. If you really love the brother beside you, give him a nice massage. You know, he will make some dua for you. Just, you know, stretch, bismillah. We're almost done. Have a seat. Hellfire, brothers and sisters, may Allah protect us from it. Hellfire is 70 years deep. 70 years deep. Imagine falling your whole life. That's how deep it is. It is dark. The fire of hellfire is in a magnitude we cannot comprehend compared to the fire of this world. Some of the scholars said that if the people of hellfire found fire like the fire in this world, they would have actually been able to sleep and relax. Brothers and sisters, when we walk into the shower and it's a little hot, we're like, oh, astaghfirullah. We cannot handle this. The fire is black. It has been burning for years and years until it has burnt the light. It is pitch dark. The first verse I want to share when it comes to the hellfire is the objective of the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادُهُ يَا عِبَادِ فَاتَّقُونَ Allah is telling you these verses so that you can be afraid. I am not standing here trying to make it more dramatic than it is. Allah is telling you in His own words, Allah will tell you these verses so that you will be afraid. يَا عِبَادِ فَاتَّقُونَ Oh my servants, fear me. Fear me. Hellfire, brothers and sisters, is layers and layers of fire. You know when you go to a barbecue and you look at the barbecue, or better, a campfire. Who's seen a campfire before? Campfires. Have you ever stared at the wood being burnt in that campfire, at the heart of the fire? Have you ever seen that? At the heart of hellfire are humans and rocks. The fuel of hellfire are humans and rocks. May Allah protect us. The fire uses humans to keep burning again and again. And the rocks are the rocks of the idols that people worshiped. I'm going to go through some verses and just, I'm going to not try to make it any more dramatic than it is, because hellfire is very scary as is. Allah says, when hellfire sees them from a faraway place, it will rage and roar. وَإِذَا رَأَتْهُم مِّن مَّكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّظًا وَزَفِيرًا وَإِذَا أُلْقُوا مِنْهَا مَكَانًا ضَيِّقًا مُقَرَّنِينَ دَعَوْا هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا لَا تَدْعُوا الْيَوْمَ ثُبُورًا وَاحِدًا وَادْعُوا ثُبُورًا كَثِيرًا. Allah says, when hellfire sees them from far away, it will rage and roar out of anger, and they will be thrown into it in a narrow place, chained together, and they will shout out, oh Allah, destruct us. Oh Allah, end this. And Allah will answer back, don't shout out for one destruction. Shout out for as many as you want. It won't make a difference. Brothers and sisters, when you see hellfire, and I'm going to talk to the mothers first. From what you see, you will wish to throw your son and daughter in it to save yourself. You will throw your mother and father if you could. You will throw all mankind if you could to save yourself. That's hellfire. The sinner would desire to ransom himself from the punishment of the day of judgment, from the punishment of that day with his children, his wife, his brother, and all mankind. يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. كَلَّا. Allah says, no, that will not happen. It is hellfire, and it will burn away at their fleshes. Brothers and sisters, every time your skin burns, your skin is how you feel the pain. So every time it burns and dies, Allah will replace it with new skin so that you can continuously feel the punishment, feel the pain. May Allah protect us from that. What are you wearing? What are people wearing in hellfire? Brothers and sisters, try to imagine this. The companions used to try to imagine this themselves. That's what kept them going. If every time we hear these verses about hellfire, we think about people other than us, then these verses are not effective. Think of yourself in this. Think of yourself wearing garments made out of tar, burning tar. And on top of your heads, boiling water is poured. From the heat of that water, everything in your bellies will melt and vanish. وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. And there are hooks of iron hooks poking and pulling at you. That's hellfire. You think you can handle this? Do you think you can handle a moment of this? That's the physical pain. The emotional pain is even worse. When the people of hellfire will call upon the people, when the people of hellfire will call upon the people of Jannah, and they will say, oh, people of Jannah, they can see them. Part of the punishment is to see Jannah, to see the other people having fun. And you're burning in it. And they will say, oh, people of Jannah, وَنَادَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. Just give us some water. That's all we want, some water. Or anything that Allah has given you. And the people of Jannah will say, no, Allah has made it forbidden for those who have rejected. For those who have lived their life, their deen, their way of life. Listen to the second verse. الذين اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعب. Those who took their way of life as just play and amusement. This world, you're just chilling in it. That's all you're doing. You're just living it. Those, their way of life is just having fun. They don't care. Allah has made it forbidden on these people to taste even the water. May Allah protect us, brothers and sisters. So what are they drinking? They are drinking boiling, rusted water. وَيُسْقَى مِن مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ يَتَجَرَّعُهُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُ. They are forced to drink it, and they cannot swallow it. وَيَأْتِيهِمُ الْمَوْتِ. And death comes to them from every direction, meaning that they have every reason to die. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيْتٍ. And there is no death. May Allah protect us. I'm going to go through four more verses to show you a certain scenario. The people of hellfire, brothers and sisters, they cannot handle this pain. They cannot handle the pain. So what they do, they call on the keepers of hellfire. They call on the keepers of hellfire to do what? To give them a break for a day. Just tell Allah to give us a break for one day. That's all we want. Just one day rest. And the keepers of hellfire قالوا أَوَلَمْ تَكُ تَأْتِيكُمْ رُسُولُكُمْ. Didn't you guys get messengers and prophets to tell you about what to do? And the people of hellfire will say, بَلَى, yeah, we did. And the keepers of hellfire will say, فَدَوْ. So ask for whatever you want. No one will answer your dua. So the people of hellfire don't know what to do. So they call on the big keeper of hellfire. His name is Malik. وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ. They keep on calling on this angel named Malik. And the hadith say they keep calling for 1,000 years. Ya Malik, Ya Malik, and Malik answers, what do you want? And the people of hellfire says, Ya Malik, tell Allah to kill us. Just end this. We can't take it anymore. And Malik answers in a very simple answer, اخسأوا فيها إنكم ماكثون. You are staying in it forever. So their last resort is what? To call on Allah. So they will call on Allah. قَالُوا رَبَّنَا. They will call on Allah. Allah, help us. غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ضَالِينَ. We admit, we were very bad people. They admit now. رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا. Take us out of it. And we promise, if we do bad again, then throw us in it. Brothers and sisters, the scholars say this is one of the toughest punishments of hellfire, when Allah responds back at them. And He says, اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. Stay in it forever and don't talk to me again. And their lips are sealed. Sometimes talking relieves the pain. In hellfire, there is no talk. There is nothing. It's just utter pain. The last slide is slowha. فَاصْبِرُوا أَوْ لَا تَصْبِرُوا. Brothers and sisters, may Allah protect us. Allah says, taste the hellfire. And whether you're patient or not, it really doesn't make a difference. Because you are only being punished for what you have done. You're only being punished for what you've done. Yeah, paradise. There are people in hellfire, and the Prophet ﷺ, your prophet, my prophet, the most beloved man to me, the most honorable man to walk on this earth, cannot enjoy Jannah when there are Muslims in hellfire. So he goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, Ya Allah, Usat al-Muslimin, the sinners of the Muslims, save them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Muhammad, go take a group of them. Take a group of them out of hellfire and into Jannah. And he goes back because there are still Muslims in hellfire. And he says, Ya Allah, Usat al-Muslimin, the sinners of the Muslims. And Allah says, go and take another group of them out of hellfire into Jannah. And a third time, and a fourth time, until the Prophet says, I'm embarrassed to ask for more. And there are still Muslims in hellfire. So the martyrs start to intercede. Ya Allah, Usat al-Muslimin, the sinners of the Muslims. And the angels start to intercede. And the prophets start to intercede for the sinners of the Muslims that are still in hellfire. And then Allah will say, the prophets have interceded. The angels have interceded. The martyrs have interceded. It is now time for my mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his hand in hellfire and take out of it anyone who had a grain of La ilaha illallah in their heart. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Just for a second. I want you to say La ilaha illallah from here. Just really think about it. There is nothing, no one, no deity, nothing worthy of worship, worthy of my ultimate love, ultimate fear, ultimate hope, except Allah. Say it. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And every day, renew your faith by saying that. Just try to do it once a day. So, the last group to exit from hellfire, Utaqa al-Rahman they're called, those who were saved by al-Rahman, they come out of hellfire like a burnt piece of coal, and they are put in a river called Nahr al-Hayah, the river of life, where they come back to their human form. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, for us, we will be standing in a land in front of the doors of Jannah. 8 beautiful doors. Can you imagine them? Actually, everyone stand up. Everyone stand up. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes. And I want you to really live this moment. You're standing there. And hold the hands of the person beside you. Hold hands. Hold hands. Close your eyes. Hold hands. It's okay. And just relax for a second. And I want you to imagine yourself standing in front of the doors of Jannah. 8 beautiful doors. Each door is as wide as from Mecca to Syria, from DC to New York. And you're standing there, and you're waiting to enter Jannah. And suddenly you see a man coming to one of the doors of Jannah. He knocks on the door. The keeper of the door asks, who is this? And he replies, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And the keeper of the door of Jannah says, I was given permission to open these doors when you knock. And brothers and sisters, right now, the 8 doors of Jannah are opening. And you get to see Jannah for the first time. I want you to listen to these verses. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِّينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ And brothers and sisters, all of those who feared Allah, inshallah you, will be led to Jannah in crowds, hand in hand, just like you are right now. Until you get to the gates will open up, and the keeper of the gate will say, Assalamu alaykum, peace be upon you. Well done, you did a great job. Enter into Jannah and stay within it forever. And you will reply back, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah who gave us this world so that we can work and gain Jannah. فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ Oh, this is the reward of those who have done good. And brothers and sisters, look above you as you can see the angels surrounding the throne of Allah, floating, just going around the throne of Allah, saying, Alhamdulillah, the judgment has been completed. It is fair for everyone. And all you can hear is, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And brothers and sisters, holding hands as groups, you will enter into Jannah. And it is now your turn. I want you to feel your first step into Jannah. Put your right foot into Jannah right now and put your left foot. Alhamdulillah, congratulations, you are in Jannah. Have a seat. You're in Jannah. Can you see it? Can you see it? Look around. It's beautiful. The dirt of Jannah is pearls and emeralds and diamonds. As soon as you enter, all you can see is beautiful buildings. The buildings are made of one brick of gold, one brick of silver, and the cement in between is musk. As soon as you enter Jannah, brothers and sisters, I want you to imagine you get 4 coupons. The first coupon says, congratulations. You will be young and never old again. Number 2, you will be happy and never sad again. Number 3, you will be healthy and never sick again. SubhanAllah, as soon as you enter into Jannah, you get these, the things that we've been worrying about in life. And the 4th one, you will be alive and never dead again. That's it. I don't know about you guys, but it's been 50,000 years. I'm tired. I want to go home. Home, sweet home. When you enter Jannah, you don't need a GPS or Google Maps to find your way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ You will know Jannah as if you've lived there all your life. So the first place you'll go is to your home. Now, Jannah has neighborhoods, all right? So there's many different Jannahs, and there's downtown Jannah. Prime real estate, brothers and sisters. It's called Al-Firdaus. It is the highest level of Jannah. The ceiling of Al-Firdaus is the throne of Allah. And from it, all the rivers of Jannah flow. May Allah grant us all Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. When you ask for Jannah, you ask for downtown Jannah. It's a hadith of the Prophet, but not in those words. When you enter your house, there are different models of houses, by the way. One of the beautiful models is a hollow pearl. A hollow pearl. By the way, Jannah is huge. Just as a disclaimer here. It is huge. One of the angels, this is a ruwaya. One of the angels wanted to find out how big Jannah is. So it asked Allah for 600,000 wings so that it can just, you know, soar through Jannah. So Allah granted it those wings, and it just kept flying and flying and flying till it got tired and it landed. And it thought, you know, am I at the end of Jannah yet? And so when it landed, it asked the inhabitants of Jannah, is this the end of Jannah? And they smiled and said, you haven't even finished the backyard of Abu Bakr. You haven't even finished the backyard of Abu Bakr. Sisters, when you enter into your house, the whole house lights up out of your beauty. We'll get other things. Hold on. Just wait. I know brothers like, what do I get? Just wait. We'll get a lot of stuff, right? Jannah has markets, has malls, no credit cards, nothing, alhamdulillah, just malls. Brothers, for Jummah, instead of going to the masjid, we actually go to the mall, all right? We go to the mall, we get to see each other, you know, because we're chilling in our, you know, villas, in our mansions. One scenario, brothers, you're sitting there in your house in Jannah, and a beautiful woman comes up to you. And you're like, how you doing? MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum, sister. And she's like, you don't know me? I was like, I wish, wallahi, but we can get to know each other. And she's like, I'm your wife. And you're like, no way. Really? You're my wife from the dunya? SubhanAllah, you've changed a little bit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna ansha'nahunna insha'a. Allah will give the sisters a Jannah-style makeover as soon as you enter, all right? And brothers, you will actually, who's married in the room? Married, married? You will actually enjoy sitting and talking to your wife. Sounds like Jannah, sisters, yeah. It will happen one day, inshallah. If not in this world, in the hereafter. You will actually sit and talk with your wife, your beautiful wife, the wife that you married in this dunya, that was pious, she will be more beautiful than all the hur in Jannah. And you will sit and talk with her to the degree that you forget that you're even in Jannah. Anybody hungry in the room? Hungry? I'm hungry, wallah. Food. I love food. Anyone who knows me knows I love food. So what do we eat in Jannah? A lot. Number one. So you're sitting in your house in Jannah, and, you know, you're a little hungry. Room service, angel service, whatever you want to call it, all right? They come in with trays and trays of food. And they're like, so what do you want to eat? And you're like, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. All right, I'll have this and this and this and this, and you just ask for whatever you want. By the way, everyone's smiling in the room right now. I know you like food. And you're like, Alhamdulillah, I'm done. And, you know, you don't have to go to the bathroom, no heartburn, nothing afterwards, alhamdulillah. And you're sitting there, and after you're done, this is an interesting ruwayah, this is an interesting narration, a bird comes into your house, and it says, you want to eat me? And you're like, Jazakallah khair, just had a good dinner, alhamdulillah, I'm full, you know, don't want to overeat. And you're like, but wait, the bird asks, wait, ask me where I came from. And you say, where did you come from? And the bird says, I have just, you know, had water from under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessed water. And you're like, okay, if that's the case, I'll take you fried, inshallah. You get whatever you want in Jannah, brothers and sisters. And when I say whatever you want, I mean whatever you want. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. you get whatever you want. So the companions were sitting like this, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, whatever we want. And he said, yeah, whatever you want. So one of the companions asked, by the way, they had a beautiful sense of humor, right? Ya Rasulullah, can I farm in Jannah? I want to farm. I'm a farmer. Can I farm in Jannah? And the Prophet said, yeah, you can farm in Jannah if you really want to. But all you have to do is put the seed and the crop comes out. So those who like to play sports, you can play football with Umar ibn al-Khattab, but I do not advise it. All right? Sisters, if you want to cook, do not cook with Aisha. She wasn't the best of cooks. All right? You can do whatever you want in Jannah. It is beautiful. Rivers. Some people, I've talked to some people think, dude, rivers, green, forest, park, sounds pretty boring. I have Algonquian Park right here. Right? It sounds the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. Guaranteed, by Allah, you will never get bored of Jannah. You will never get bored of Jannah. From the degree that you will never get bored, there is no sleep in Jannah. Because there's always something new happening. One of the interesting things, you're in Jannah, all right? And when the winds hit the branches and trunks of the trees in Jannah, and we're talking Jannah-style trees, not those things out there, all right? They make a beautiful sound. And we're like, subhanAllah, this is amazing background music, you know? This is really cool. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you like this? Do you like what you hear? And we're like, Ya Allah, this is amazing. We've never heard anything so beautiful. And Allah says, but there's more. And they're like, what could be more? And Allah asks the hur of Jannah to sing. And we're like, subhanAllah, this is amazing. You know, you've never heard anything so beautiful. Forget the rappers in this world. I'm talking real music, you know. For all those who protected their ears, inshallah, in the dunya. And you're sitting there and you say, what could be more beautiful? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Dawood, one of the prophets that had a beautiful voice, to recite for us. And when he recites, brothers and sisters, we've never heard anything so beautiful. And Allah says, do you like this? Do you want more? And I'm like, what could be more than this? And Allah asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to recite. And he recites. And we're all sitting there. Can you imagine this? Just hearing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reciting. And Allah says, do you like this? And you say, Allah, this is beyond. And Allah says, I will recite. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself recites. And when he recites, brothers and sisters, everything stops. And the whole earth and the whole sky shakes from his majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, in Jannah, there are different types of amusements. First of all, let's talk about the lowest level in Jannah. What's the lowest level in Jannah? This is the last person to exit from what? Shoppers? From where? Hellfire, right? Are you guys awake? Last person to exit from hellfire is the lowest level of Jannah. When they exit from hellfire, brothers and sisters, when they exit, they're not even in Jannah, they think that this is Jannah because of what they've seen in hellfire. So they're sitting there, alhamdulillah, and they think no one else has it like that. They think they are, alhamdulillah, this is the best they can get. And then they look and they see a beautiful tree. Like I said, Jannah style trees, not those things. All right? And they're like, Ya Allah, wow. And they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, can I go there and I won't ask for anything else? I promise. And Allah says, nothing else? He said, no, just, you know, I want to go to that tree and I won't ask for anything else. So Allah, being the most merciful, grants him that. So the guy's chilling under this tree, he's having fun, he's enjoying time, and he looks and he sees a bigger tree. And you're like, Ya Allah, can I go there? And I won't ask for anything else. Just that tree. So Allah says nothing else. He says nothing else. So Allah grants him that other tree. And he's sitting there, he's enjoying his time, you know, under the tree. But that tree is beside the fence of Jannah. So he looks and he sees the people of Jannah inside. So he says, Ya Allah, can I go there? And I won't ask for anything else. And Allah says in the hadith that I can't blame him because of what he sees in Jannah. So this person enters Jannah, and as soon as he enters, he stops. He says, Ya Allah, it's full. There's no space for me. And Allah says, Oh my servant, come here. Would you be satisfied with all the treasures and pleasures of earth given to you? Last person to exit from hell, he says, Yes, I'll take it. And Allah says, I will give you double that. And the servant can't believe himself. And he says, I'll give you triple that, four times that, five times that. And the servant says, Ya Allah, are you making fun of me because I'm the last person to exit from hellfire? And Allah smiles and says, Ya Abdi, O my servant, enter into Jannah. You get 10 times all the treasures and pleasures of earth. That's the lowest level in Jannah. Do you want to know what the highest level is? The highest level of Jannah. Brothers and sisters, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ زَرَعْتُ كَرَامَتَهُمْ بِيَدِي. The highest level in Jannah, don't worry about them. Because I personally, Allah personally, will be responsible for your happiness. When Allah is personally responsible for your happiness, imagine what it could be. All we know is they get to see Allah one time in the morning and one time in the evening. Let me end with this. In Jannah, there are different kinds of pleasures. We don't know them, but we know of one of them. One type of pleasure we have never experienced in this world that we will experience in the hereafter. And that is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let me tell you the story of this. You are sitting in your house in Jannah, and an angel knocks on the door. When the angel knocks on the door, he says, Hayya ala ziyarat al-Rahman. Come on, let's go visit Allah. Let's go visit Allah. You've never seen Allah yet. So you open your door, and you have your Jannah-style limo waiting for you. تُعَدُّ لَهُمْ الرَّكَائِبِ. So there's a ride prepared for you. And you go, you know, on that ride to a nice open land where there are mountains of light, pillars of gold, piles of musk. Everyone there is sitting based on their level in Jannah, and no one feels anything bad about anyone else. And we're sitting there remembering the days of this world. And suddenly, brothers and sisters, suddenly, you look above you, and there's light. Light upon light upon light. And we're all looking. And we ask the angels, is this Allah? We've never seen Allah. And the angels say, no. This is the light that precedes Allah. And while we're looking there, brothers and sisters, we hear, As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-jannah. Peace be upon you, O people of Jannah. And we reply back, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. O Allah, you are peace and peace is from you. May you be glorified, O majestic one. And listen carefully, brothers and sisters. As Allah says, are you happy? Are you satisfied? And we say, Allah, how can we not be happy when you saved us from hellfire and entered us into Jannah? And Allah says, what else do you want? And we say, nothing else. And Allah says, no. Today is the day of giving. I want to give you more. What do you want? And all of us together, we say, Ya Allah, أرنا وجهك ننظر إليك. Show us your face. We want to see you. We miss you. We've worshipped you all our life and we've never seen you. You've given us everything. Brothers and sisters, for most of us, He has given us Islam when we never asked for it. And for those who converted, He gave you guidance. Brothers and sisters, you want to see Him. You miss Him. You love Him. Ya Allah, we want to see You. And the barriers between us and Allah will be removed. And for the first time, you will get to see Allah. You will get to see the one that created you out of nothing. You will get to see the one who created beauty itself. You will get to see the one who knows you more than you know yourself. You will get to see the one who gave you so many chances so that you can be in Jannah when we didn't give anything back. You get to see the one who's more merciful than your mother. The Sahaba, the companions asked, Ya Rasulullah, will we see him just like this? And the Prophet ﷺ said, look at the moon, can you see the moon? And the Sahaba said, yes, he said, just like that. And by seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, it is a ni'mah, it is a pleasure that we do not comprehend in this world. But it doesn't end there. No one will leave that day until they get a personal one-on-one meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just you and Allah. Just you and Allah, that's it. No messenger, no translator, no one else. And Allah will bring you to Him. Can you imagine this? And He will say, Ya Abdi, oh my servant, إِنِّي رَاضٍ عَنْكَ فَهَلْ أَنْتَ رَاضٍ عَنْ I am satisfied from you. Are you satisfied from me? Are you satisfied with what I gave you? And I will say, Ya Allah, of course we are. And Allah will remind you about things you did in this world. And you will be so embarrassed. But then Allah will say, إِنِّي غَفَرْتُهَا لَكَ I have forgiven you. Ask me, what do you want? And so we will start to say, Ya Allah, I want this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And this, and this, and this, and this. And you will ask for many different things. And Allah will say, are you done? And you say, actually, I want this, and this, and this, and this, and that. And when you're done, Allah will say, but you forgot to ask me for this, and this, and that. These are things that you made dua for in the dunya, and I did not fulfill it. I have stored it for you in the hereafter. And so you will wish that all the dua you made in this world was never accepted, and that it was all stored for you in the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, never stop making dua. Allah is close and He hears you. And if He does not respond in this dunya, it is stored for you in the hereafter. And then Allah, at the end of this meeting, will say, and I will give you something above and beyond all of this. And you will say, what? And Allah will say, Al-Yawm, today, I will bestow, أُحِلُّ عَلَيْكَ رِضْوَانِي I will bestow my pleasure, my satisfaction upon you. And I'll never be upset with you again. Never. You know that feeling in Ramadan? Maybe during these last 10 nights, when you feel for a moment that Allah is happy with you? Do you know that? That's the feeling of the people of Jannah all the time. Brothers and sisters, this is the end of the journey. But before we leave, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Is Jannah worth it? No, really, is it worth it? Is it worth what we think is a lot of hard work? Do you want Jannah? Do you really want Jannah? Allah says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Show me your proof if you are truthful. What's our proof that we want Jannah? Number one is being here tonight. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you can feel this, but as we speak, I swear by Allah, there are angels surrounding us, around us, all around us, up to the seventh sky. And they are looking down at us, and they are asking for your forgiveness right now. And Allah will ask them, what are they doing? And they say, Ya Allah, they are asking for your forgiveness. What do they want? They say, Ya Allah, they want your Jannah. And Allah says, have they seen it? And the angels say, no. And Allah says, what if they see it? The angels say, Ya Allah, they'll want it even more. And Allah will ask the angels, and he knows more, what are they afraid of? And the angels will say, they are afraid of hellfire. Are you guys afraid of hellfire? And Allah will say, have they seen it? And the angels will say, no. And Allah will say, what if they see it? And the angels will say, they'll be even more afraid of it. And then Allah says, Ya Malaikati, O my angels, bear witness that I have forgiven their sins. Right now. And the angel will say, but wait, Allah, one of them really didn't come for the lecture. Just someone double parked and they could not leave. And Allah says, Humul Qawm, these are people that even the people sitting with them will get the forgiveness. That's the mercy of Allah. And if you double park, don't double park again. Brothers and sisters, to conclude this, this lecture will evaporate like every other lecture you've heard before. Probably a day or two. All right? What I want you to do right now is we're going to give Allah a down payment. You want a house in Jannah? No, really. Do you know that you can get a house every day in Jannah? Do you know that? Do you know that every single day you can buy a house in Jannah? By praying 12 extra rak'ahs a day. Two before Fajr. That means you have to get up for Fajr. Okay? Not when you wake up for work. Fajr. Before sunrise. Four before Dhuhr, two after Dhuhr, two after Maghrib, two after Isha. If you pray those 12 rak'ahs, sold. A house for you is built in Jannah every single day. Brothers and sisters, before we leave, what's your down payment? I want you to promise to take a step towards Allah. This is, we all hear during Ramadan, this is a blessed time. Last 10 nights, probably the last third of the night, right? Angels are all around us. Allah has descended to this, to the sky of this earth. Angels are all around us right now. I want you to take a step towards Allah. Pick something bad that you do and say, as a down payment for Jannah, I will stop this. Or say, as a down payment for Jannah, I will start doing this. Take 30 seconds. Take a decision. Take a step towards Allah. That's all it takes. Allah promises, take a step towards Him, He will take a leap towards you. People ask, how do I start? I want Jannah. I'm afraid of hellfire. I'm afraid of death. I'm afraid of the grave. What do I do? Brothers and sisters, just take a step towards Allah. Right now. Not when you get up. Not when you go home. It's now. Take 30 seconds. Think of something. You will either stop or start for the sake of Allah. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think that you left this room today and you didn't do anything about your life. It was just a good lecture and you changed nothing. I want you to look at yourself in a year. Where are you? How has your life been? Are you closer to Jannah or to hellfire? I want you to look at yourself in the mirror. Is that the person you wanted to be? 5 years into the future. 5 years into the future, you've done nothing about your life. You're still the same you. You haven't taken a step towards Allah. Look at yourself in the mirror. How are your kids? How are your kids? How is your family? How have you influenced the people around you? If you die today, where are you going? 10 years into the future, look at yourself again in the mirror. You haven't changed anything. Now what? Is it too late? And brothers and sisters, it will be a matter of 30, 40 years, and you're on your deathbed. I want you to close your eyes and look at yourself lying on the floor of your living room, and you haven't changed a thing about your life. Are you ready to meet Allah or not? But brothers and sisters, it can change. Before you stand up tonight, you really took a decision to change your life. You really took a step forward. And it's not just, this was a good lecture, I feel good, I'm walking away. No. This is a changing point in my life. I, inshallah, will be in paradise when I die. Now close your eyes and look at yourself a year into the future. You've changed. You've stopped doing that bad thing that you've been doing, or you've added that thing to your life. Look at yourself. Look at how energized you've become. Look at how many people around you you've influenced. You've put on your hijab. Look at how many people, how many of your friends put it on after you. You started praying. You feel energized. 5 years into the future, I want you to look at yourself in the mirror and smile and say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah that I changed my life towards better. Alhamdulillah that I'm one step towards Jannah. 20 years into the future, your kids are huffaz. They've memorized the Quran. They are good kids. They're the first people in the masjid when the call to adhan comes. Those are your kids. It's all because of a decision you took tonight. And look at yourself on the deathbed. You can see yourself. And when the soul is about to leave your body, you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I tried my best. I took steps towards Allah. And now, I'm waiting for Allah's mercy to enter paradise. Brothers and sisters, before we leave, I will give everyone just 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Sit towards the Qibla. There are angels right now in the sky around us. Allah has come down to this sky and He is asking, Wallahi, as we speak, is there anyone that wants to repent? I will accept the repentance. Is there anyone that wants me to forgive his sins? I will forgive their sins. Brothers and sisters, sit towards the Qibla. Bring your heart. Don't focus about anything except raising your hands to Allah. And everyone, in their own language, in their own words, just ask Allah to grant you the straight path in this dunya and to grant you the highest level of paradise. Ask Allah whatever you want. These are blessed times. And when you're done, Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakumullah khair, brothers and sisters, and sorry for keeping you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.